You'll never guess this day. I'm giving you a little bit of time. This is an exciting day. It's national. What's I gonna get? Toast Marshmallow Day. Okay, today is National Toasted Marshmallow Day, and most marshmallows. And it was interesting, was actually kind of funny that the Egyptians actually started making marshmallows. 2000 BC, they were said to be making marshmallows, and what they did was they would take the root from a mallow plant, and they would use the root, and I'm not sure they'd process it, drain it out, and get the whatever they did, and they made these candies out of it, and they would mix nuts and stuff with it, and it was like this medicinal sweet treat that was only really for royalty. That's really when it actually started. And actually, when we look at today, and I was thinking about this, that in the time of Judges, which we'll be looking at again today through Hebrews, when we look at Samson today, could have been that same time period when they were making marshmallows in Egypt. And they weren't really marshmallows. They were like this candy type of thing. But then the 1800s, some people in France, the French, came up with the marshmallow, kind of what we have today, and they started, you know, they took out some ingredients, added ingredients, and then in the 1900s, they started whipping it with air and fluffing that bad boy up for that marshmallow that we have today. So it's you know, highly processed, whipped type of, not really good for you, I don't think, unless you really like a lot of sugar, but anyhow, there is over 90 million pounds. Think about that. So I don't know how many marshmallows. When I think of a truck going down the road, I always calculate in my mind, you know, 22 pallets, you know, of a, I'm thinking, okay, 22 pallets are on the truck. How much weight? And a typical pallet is anywhere from 500 pounds to 3,000 pounds, depending on what they're hauling. But a marshmallow, you get all these boxes in there, and it might be 10,000 pounds or less, because they take up so much space. So you think about how many truckloads to move down the road to haul 90 million pounds of marshmallows. That's where my mind went. So anyway, and most marshmallows, Logan, you can use this school. Most marshmallows are eaten in October and December. So 90 million pounds usually goes poof, right out that time frame. So what is the best time to eat chocolate and marshmallows? In the morning. Like a s'more? Okay. How does a Hershey bar, a marshmallow, and a graham cracker communicate? Use Schmorris code. Okay. And what do you call marshmallows in outer space? Marshmallows. Okay. So those were hits for you today, but. Okay, well, I thought they were good, so you enjoyed them as much as me. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this morning. Lord, we thank you for your word. Lord, we ask that you'll speak to us out of your word this morning, Lord, as we continue down the path of faith and understanding and looking at faith. Lord, help us to walk that direction in faith. Help us to, as a church and as people, to encourage other people to walk in faith. Lord, just speak to us this morning. Help us to understand faith better, because we know that is what you see. That's what you work with. That's how you communicate. And our faith towards you is something that I'm trying to understand more, to help me to be a better man of God, help me to be a better example to other people, Lord, to be able to walk in faith as these men and women of faith that we find in Hebrews. Speak to us on our faith. Hebrews 11:1, once again. Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. As we continue to walk down that path of Hebrews today, and Hebrews 11, I'm going to read it again, and we'll be specific verses for the next couple weeks. But I'm going to read 32 to 38. Hebrews 11, 32 to 38. And what more shall I say? I do not have time to tell you about Gideon, which we looked at the other week, Barak, who we looked at the other week, Samson, who we're looking at today, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, and through faith this happened, conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of the flame, and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned into strength, and who became powerful in battle and routed foreign enemies. Women received back their dead, raised to life again. Others were tortured and refused to be released so that they might gain a better resurrection. Some faced jeers and flogging, while still others were chained and put in prison. They were stoned. They were sawed in two. They were put to death by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains and in caves and in holes in the ground. Samson is in that list. Samson, we all know the story, you know, and Samson, which we're going to be pulling out of Judges, we're looking at the faith of Samson, because so many times we think of Samson when we hear the story of Samson. I've often wondered, he's called out in scripture for this man of faith, but we all know that he had a lot of problems, especially when it came to women, right? He would have been looked at as a womanizer today, right? I mean, he would have been. Most likely, if he would have been in today's time, he might have been in the Epstein files. I mean, that's the type of guy we're looking at when you look and you think about Samson. Samson, and then yet he's in this scripture that talks about these great men of faith. So as I pulled this, we start, and this is Judges 13 through 16. You can see the whole life that we know of during this time of Samson. But we do know a lot about Samson. We from the standpoint of his desires, his total ability to really step away from what, how should I say that? To step away from what desired and kind of do his own thing, right? That's what you think about. You think about, you know, Samson. Samson was one of those guys, when you talk about and you look in scripture, that an angel came to his parents. The angel came to his parents because they were barren and said, you're going to have a child and you're going to make, he's going to be a Nazarene. He's going to take the vow for his entire life to be a Nazarene, which we know is that vow. Does anyone remember the three qualities for the vow of a Nazarene? Don't touch dead animals, dead people, no carcasses. Don't drink fermented drink, wine, grape. They weren't even supposed to eat fruits like of the vine. So there was those two. And then the last one, which we know of Samson, with where did his power come from? His hair, right? And don't cut your hair. And this vow was given to him from to his parents, for him, for his entire life. This is how he was to, what he was supposed to do. And then yet we find Samson. So that's the angel, this angel. Once again, we talk about spiritual warfare, right? We talk about the spiritual stuff happens and we look at this warfare. So here's this angel of God that shows up to Samson's mother and says, you're going to have a child. And she's like, but I'm barren. And then her husband says, oh my goodness, is this actually true? Can we get this guy back? We need to talk to him. How are we supposed to raise him? What are we supposed to do? And the angel then comes back. So they meet with this angel, and then they're worried that they're going to die because they met with God, right? And the angel, when he met with them, is interesting because they said, what's your name? And this is all in Judges 13 through 16. What's your name? And the angel says, it's not going to make any sense to you. What's it matter, my name? Right? This angel shows and appears, what? Not to glorify himself. He's a servant. He's a messenger. He comes down. He's called by God to do what he's supposed to do. This angel is just strict doing what he's going to do. You don't need to know my name. You don't need to know who my existence, because what's the angel say? I am here for God. I'm here to deliver a message. This is the message. That's all you need to know. Follow this. And that starts the beginning of what we know of Samson. Samson then, so as he's called to be this leader, this man that is supposed to be a Nazarene, who's supposed to follow the law and supposed to uphold this, you know, then he just kind of goes down this time right when he's ready to get married. Because at this time in Judges, Samson, who's called out as faithful in Hebrews, starts off then getting married to a Philistine woman, which, number one, was a code violation of the Mosaic law, right? The Israelites weren't supposed to marry pagan women outside of Israel. They weren't supposed to marry pagans. And he goes to his mom and dad and said, hey, I saw this Philistine woman. I want to marry her. Get her for me for my wife. And the parents were like, the parents, you know, as we are as parents, well, God's word tells this, and Samson, you get me her. So that begins this process of Samson, who we know now was a Nazarite, was called by God for a specific purpose, and now he's choosing to break God's law, right? He's choosing, and yet he's called out to as a man of faith. And he served Israel as a judge for 20 years. But during those 20 years, he married this Philistine woman. And okay, and then we get there, and this is kind of one of my thoughts, because I can't understand it. So we're supposed to follow God. Me as a person, I'm supposed to follow God's law. We're supposed to follow what Christ wants us to do, right? That's what we're called to do. We're called to minister the gospel. We're called to make disciples. We're called to preach the gospel to people. We're called to help others. And we're called to do these things. And Samson was called to do the things that the Mosaic law called out. And God said, this is what you're to do. But then in chapter four, let me see, chapter, Judges 14, says this. I'm going to start in verse 3. His father and mother replied, isn't there an acceptable woman among your relatives or among all our people? Must you go to the uncircumcised, those pagans, the Philistines, to get a wife? But Samson said to his father, get her for me. She's the right one for me. Verse 4, his parents did not know that this was from the Lord, who was seeking an occasion to confront the Philistines. So this sidestep from Samson to not to follow the law, not to follow what Scripture commands, was a plan. You know, we talk about God's sovereignty. We talk about God's plan. The plan was Samson was supposed to live as a Nazarene, but he was going to be a wild guy. God had it planned that the Philistines were controlling the Israelites at this time. Brutal people, the Philistines, they're brutal and controlling them. God's plan was, I need to destroy these people. And Samson was part of that plan. So Samson sidestepped what the Mosaic law told him to do, married this Philistine woman for the sole purpose to get Samson, an Israelite, called by God, by an angel, who was living as under the Nazarene law, to administer justice and a vengeance and a persecution on the Philistines. And it wasn't going to happen if they stayed up in their cuddly little, forest or desert retreat. They had to get Samson involved with the Philistine people. And this is how it happened. He fell in love with this woman, married her, and that begins this process that you see where then Samson, this great man, there's a lot of strength due to his hair, like the Spirit of God filled him many times with this great strength. Strength, which we know through the story of Samson and Delilah, of the power came from his hair, right? Which the power came from his hair, but it came from where? It came from God. And this power came from God. And Samson, his entire process, as we get through this, Samson's faith, we get to the now faith. You think about Samson as he's called out by this faithful man, this guy of faith. Samson at this time, his faith was where? His faith, as you get through the story of Samson, was not in God at first. It was upon his strength. Samson's faith, when you read about Samson, he killed 1,000 Philistines with the jawbone donkey, a lion, and the jawbone, and then he went back and took honey from it, disobeyed again the Nazarene law of touching a dead animal. The wedding feast, the Philistines were known at this time. They made really good wine and drinks, and they were supposed to be really good beer makers. And they said when they had these feasts, it was like a 7-day drinking party. And so that's where Samson was kept putting himself into these positions. It doesn't say that Samson was out drinking with them, but I'm assuming he was. If you look at Samson, but the scripture doesn't say it. We know that he married a Philistine woman. We know he hired prostitutes. We know all these things about Samson. And Samson, when we look at him in Hebrews, is called out by a man of faith. Wow. This is a great example of how we should not judge people, right? Because God has a plan for people. We might see something right off the get-go, but there is a plan. So Samson's faith at growing up, getting married, all these things all came down to his faith and his strength. That's where he took his pride, right? He took his pride that these women were trying to get to him. Why are you so strong? What's your secret? And he gave these stories. We know this story of Samson and Delilah until they came in and they took him and they cut his hair. And once again, Samson at that time with Samson and Delilah, he woke up and he was going to overtake them until he realized what? I cut my hair. All of a sudden, his faith and his strength. And that's another thing. I'm thinking, dude, are you that dumb? Like this lady's telling you three times. And I'm not calling any man that scripture calls it. Thinking, this woman that you loved kept trying to get your secret. He gave him the secret. Is that my phone? No. He got the secret, and then she calls in these people to get you, and then you really give her the answer. Like, what are you thinking? He was thinking he had this strength. His faith was not in God at this time. His faith was in himself and his power and his strength. When I think about that, okay, how many times do we do that? Our faith, yeah, we're walking for the Lord. We're doing everything. Hey, our faith is in God. But sometimes is it? Is our faith relied upon our job? Is our faith relied upon our bank account? Is our faith relied upon, look at, family, or the past? Is our faith really walking to what Jesus tells us to do in our life today? In my life, and when I say, all right, I always say, I'm preaching to me all the time. That's what I'm like. I'm always preaching to me. Is that where my life is? Am I walking that faith line? Or am I walking like Samson was, being deceived, following these things, following my own desires, taking my life, and I'm putting my faith in my stuff like Samson did? He put his faith in his strength. And at the end, when his faith was gone, his faith in himself was no more, when scripture talks about when God left him, his strength was gone. And what we know happened. Man, they came in. Oh, they Philistines couldn't wait to get this guy. They tied him up, threw him into prison, like being like an ox. You know, he was down there making grain. And then we know the last story of Samson, when they bring him out. They had this big party in the temple, and the Philistines, again, they're having this big beer fest, and they're worshiping their god Dagon. I forget the exact name there, but they're worshiping their god, and they're laughing because finally we have Samson. He's been brutal to us. He's been killing our people. He destroyed our crops. You know, the story where he tied the fox together and lit their tails together, and it ran through all their crops and burnt tons of stuff. They're like, Samson was a brutal guy to these people. So they were happy that he was taken captive. But Samson called out in Hebrews as a man of faith. What we see in the first part of his life was he was a womanizer. He was out there kind of causing a lot of destruction. How can he be in this hall of faith, Samson? Then we get to the end of his life. At the end of his life, we see Samson now come back to the spot where he was a man of faith. That's that spot. So how many times do we think to ourselves, I know for me I do, when we look at our loved ones, and they're walking down a course, walking down a path that you know is horrible, that you know they shouldn't be down that path. And you just like Samson's parents said, well, you know, can't you find this? Can't you find someone in Israel? Nope. And they go and do their thing. And they're walking this path. And so many times when we look at our own family members or our own friends or ourselves even, that we like, ah, oh, we keep pushing down that path. We can't stop there, and we can't stop praying for our children either, or our grandkids, or our brothers, or our sisters, because it's never too late. Never too late to come back to the faith, right? It's never too late. There's no that God isn't going, oh man, you really messed up. And we see here, yeah, you really messed up, Samson. You know, you hired that prostitute in the Gaza. Yeah, I'm not, no, you're done. No, it wasn't. God had a plan. And the plan was for Samson now to come back. And at the end of his life, you see it in Judges 16, verse 23. When Samson is in the temple, when they're having this party, and the Philistines say, bring him back in. Now all of a sudden, we see Samson where his faith is talked about in Hebrews. And it's in verse 28. Then Samson prayed to the Lord, O sovereign Lord, remember me. O God, please strengthen me just once more and let me with one blow get revenge on the Philistines for my two eyes. He didn't stand up there and say, out of my own power, out of my own strength, I'm going to knock these pillars down. Nope. Up to Samson. Samson all of a sudden lost his strength. His faith was in his hair. His faith was in his strength, which we know came from God, and he knew came from God. But on his walk, on his trail, on his path, he forgot that God was the one who gave him these things. And he lost that faith until it was all taken away. And as he sat in jail, I'm reading into, you think about someone sitting in jail. I don't know how long. They gouged his eyes out. And as he sat in jail and was the mule in jail making the grain and all this stuff, and they teased him and ridiculed him over all this humbling experience for such a strong, powerful man, right? What happened to him? His faith came back to know that God gave me this strength. My faith did not come from my hair. My faith did not come from anything else other than God. That God was the person. God was the being. God was the creator who created me to do what he wanted me to do. And I didn't have the faith because I put the faith now in my own strength, my own stuff. And at his last moment, as he stood in the temple, Hebrews, now faith is being for what was Samson hoping for? Samson's hope turned from his own self. And he calls out to God. He said, God, one last time, because I know I don't have the strength. You've taken the strength from me. But one last time, give me the strength that I can kill these people. Right? And that was part of the plan. James, it makes me think. James chapter 4, verses 6 through 8. But he gives us more grace. That is why Scripture said, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Samson was humbled. Samson was a proud man, and he was humbled. And during that humbleness, he came back to be this man of faith. Verse 7, submit yourself. Now we're thinking of us. Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Come near to God and he will come near to you. I just can't help but think about Samson in prison. And while he was in prison, did he come near to God? Right? While he sat in prison, my assumption is that's when he came near to God. And God, Scripture says, when we come near to him, he's going to come near to us. Resist the devil. Our concentration needs to be consistently looking at what God and who God is in our life, right? Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the story of Samson. I thank you for the story because he was, as a guy, you think he was a guy's guy. He was this strong, powerful man, and he was wreaking havoc on people, and it's this story of this powerful man. But yet, Lord, it's a story of a man who is broken, a story of a man that was called to do, to serve you, and he served you, but he lost his way. And in that time when he lost his way, he did come back. He had the faith. He saw what you wanted him to do. He had this faith that you tell us that we need to have. This faith. Now faith, and you tell us, Lord, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we don't see. That's what you tell us, Lord. Help us to live that way. Just as we see from Samson, how he ended living that way. This man of faith, this judge that you used for your purpose. Lord, give us wisdom on how best to walk in faith for you. Help us not to go to the extreme as Samson. But just help us walk in your light. Help us to be a good ministers to other people. I pray for that. I pray for this as we continue to walk down this story of faith, that it can apply into our life like we've never seen or understood. In your name I pray.